Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
On Wednesday nights, we have ministries for all ages. In the sanctuary here, we have an adult study, and we break into small groups and you interact together. We follow a bit of a discussion sheet, and sometimes that leads to, other questions within the individual group that creates good discussion based on Scripture and our life and very practical and applicable things and all of that. And so in this study, in this series we have been doing, this last week, they talked about, or the title was The Church. And I let them know that this would probably, part of that would make its way to a Sunday. And, well, this is the Sunday. And some of this will be review. Little bits and pieces will be from teacher and pastor Tom Nelson, a few of these little things that they're going to hear again. And then, of course, based on Scripture and how it may apply to you and I and what the Lord is saying to us as individuals. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus talks with his disciples about what are people saying about who I am? And they go ahead and answer, and then Jesus transitions the question from, what are you hearing from other people? What do you say? Or who do you say that I am? And Peter, it gives us the impression that Peter kind of pipes up very quickly and says, Jesus, you are the Christ. You're the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus replies and says, blessed are you, Simon, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my ecclesia. The translation you read will say probably church. And the gates of hell will not overcome it. I want to stop there. Jesus, in our translations, most of the time when the word ecclesia was used, translators have put in the word church. And that actually is not what Jesus was saying. Church had a very different connotation back in history in that part of the world. And so today in our culture and over time, we use an interchange, like they're synonyms, because church, back in Dominicum, in other words, back in, Greek, Roman world, they used a different word. And actually, it was, modern Greek that came up with this term, church. And it had nothing to do with Christianity. Okay? In modern Greek, which was still historical for us from this point on, is, we develop slang. Well, modern Greek kind of went that way, and they used some other terms. And they use this term church for a place, a facility, where the free public could gather and deal with politics. Now, that's very different than you and I and what we think about the definition of what church is. And there's more to that definition. I'm not here to exhaust that. But the word that we read many times in the New Testament where we see the word church really is not the word church. It is ecclesia, which has to do with people who are called out. Okay, we have been called out of darkness and into the marvelous light, right? That's what it says in 1 Peter, okay? And so we have been called out. The gospel has come to us. And we have been called out of from ourselves and from darkness and into the marvelous light and the truth of who God is, that it transforms us and we put faith in Him. And that we are not a part of the church, as far as modern Greek terms are. But through time and translation, you and I have called this building the church. We call the people themselves the church. The church is the body of Christ. We use phrases like that. The church is the bride of Christ. And so we have made this term that Jesus never used and made it synonymous through time. And part of it was through the corruption of some translators who were connected to government, okay, connected to government, and they wanted to impose and control. All right? So that's part of history. It is one of the appreciations I have for the actual title of our fellowship, the Assemblies of God. Okay? Because the word is assemblies or multiple assemblies. This is New Life Assembly of God. In other words, people gather, a congregation gathers, called out ones gather. In the ecclesia, the called out ones, and as you were to look at the word, some translators get a little closer and they call it congregation or assembly. The assembly of people. In other words, there wasn't always this building that they went to. It was a gathering of believers. Gathering of called out ones. You look in church history, in the early church, in the book of Acts, they were meeting in homes and they would gather here and the word would spread and where the gathering was going to be and multiple gatherings within the city or within the town or the village. And you and I use the term church. And I just want you to know from the outset that church isn't really an accurate description, though we have made it synonymous. And so if you continue to use the word church, this doesn't mean you and I are going to get slapped with a ruler. We have come to an understanding that church, we know, is not the building, though we call it the church. It just is identifying a place where called out ones gather to worship Jesus Christ. Why do you come to the gathering? I'm not looking for you to answer. I'm just asking you to think about that. Why do you come? There probably are as many reasons as there are people. But some have identified and kind of put it in these terms, and I'm going to borrow this from Pastor Tom Nelson in the study. He says, as he shared with other thoughtful people on this matter, some kind of treat coming to church, we'll just use the term, called out ones sometimes look at coming and they treat it like kind of like going to the movie theater. It's a place I go once a month. A little bit of entertainment value. Make some time to get out and do that. Others, they look at it more like this is a gas station. I'm running on empty. I'm running low. I need a recharge. I need fueling. I need something to keep me going. Some, they'll look at it as if it is a drugstore. I carry a lot of pain, and I need something to medicate my broken soul, my broken spirit. And so I'm going to go to church, and I'm looking for something to bring healing and hope and strength to make it through. Now, it's not that all these are wrong. I mean, you and I, it is right for us to come to look for something, to receive something from the gathering. Some look at it as going to a big box store. And where you go into the big box store and you look for the signs and you go to the department and you can go to the shelf and it's labeled and marketed and you can grab it and you grab what you need and you go. You know, you come and there's a parking lot, there's signs, there's programs for your kids, there's things for your youth, there's something that may apply to your personal interest or age group or stage of life or a topic you're dealing with in some study. And so we kind of come and grab what we want and make our way. And what happens is we start to look at going to church as something we attend rather than the church, something that we are. Something I attend or something that I am. And it's different. Something that I am, a called out one. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are the ecclesia. You are a called out one. Called out of darkness into the marvelous light. And you and I, part of our mission is to be salt and light. Understand this, that if church becomes something in our mentality that we attend, then we are not going to be salt and light. But when we understand that we are called out ones and we gather and we congregate, it is something that we are, then we will be salt and light. It is something that we are. This is not something you attend. You are the living church. You and I are the hope. Now, the world doesn't understand this, but you and I are intended to be the hope for the world. And if we look at this as something to attend, how empty is that? This is not going to a movie. Granted, there are moments in this room that are entertaining. And I don't mean that in a carnal, fleshly sense. It's part of fellowship. It's part of the gift. It's part of the personality. It's part of the music. It's part, you know, all of this. But the church is something, or the ecclesia is something that we are, not something we attend. We use phrases like, are you going to church? And it's just wanting to know if you're going to attend the gathering. But even in those phrases, it is like it is blanketed with, this is something we attend. We don't see that this is something that we are. That we are the living church. That Christ does not dwell in buildings. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God dwells in people. And if we look at it as what we're going to attend, where is the life of the Spirit within us? To be salt and light. If it's something I attend, it also gives me this impression that I am coming to be a spectator. I have no responsibility. I don't have to be loyal. I don't have to go the extra mile. I don't have to give anything of my life. That is not what the ecclesia and the gatherings were about. It was about figuring out, contemplating, how can I provoke my brothers and sisters towards love and good deeds? How can I encourage them in Christ? How can I pray for them? Let's worship together. Listen, this is not a concert. We want people to be skillful. We want them to operate in their giftings. We want them to operate in God-given talents. But understand this. If something's out of tune up here, or the soundboard has a glitch, it is why I am up here and I do not panic. Josh Abbott, who is, I don't know, he's just worked his way into because of his interest and passion and care for the church and the quality of things that we have. And yet, you know, when certain things go wrong, it bothers him more than it does me because he feels a responsibility for it. And I need that. We need that. That is part of who he is and the rest of the guys and ladies who feel responsibilities up there in the upper echelon, who look down on the rest of us every Sunday. But Josh has come to me on certain occasions and has conveyed, I just really like that you don't get all worked up and bent out of shape and look at me like, go fix that, and you better, and what's wrong with those people? And I'm marching back in the sound booth and taking control of stuff I don't know. Because I want you to know that can be a very popular trait amongst pastors. I don't get bent out of shape. I mean, I want it to go good. Yeah, what's with the, you know, the glitch? Can we maybe fix it? If not, no, you know, we're still going to worship. Because this isn't something we attend. It is who we are. See? It's different. This is who we are. The gathering, the ecclesia, the called out ones, what we now may call the church in our vernacular, though it is not completely biblically accurate, and we're not going to split hairs here, we understand it to be, we kind of equate it to be the ecclesia. Listen, the ecclesia was Jesus' idea. Called out ones. Even when he says this to Peter, he says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. I want you to understand the context here. Because remember, Jesus said, you're the called out ones. And he also said, go and make disciples. It was always about going. It was always about going. It was always about going and making. Okay? What he was saying is, the gates of this city, and that hell seems to operate within it, the gates of this city will not keep you in. You are called out ones. The gates of hell will not contain you and hold you back. Even when persecution came and still comes, what happens when that happens? What happens to the gospel? Do you ever notice it spreads and flourishes? The gates of hell, the gates of that city did not contain the message of the gospel and hold it back. Some differ on this. And some who differ, you can see a slant. They try to use scripture against it, and generally you pick up an edge and offense that something has happened in their life somewhere along the line with what we call a church, where they've been hurt, offended, and so they still want to stay Christian, but they want to kind of attack it a little bit. And I want you to know that Jesus, in the going and making disciples, and the ecclesia and the gathering together was his idea. And I want you to know from very creation, man was not created to be alone. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are not created to be alone. You were made for relationship. Now, granted, some are a little more social than others. I get that. But you We're not created. You are not fashioned in God's creation of you to be alone. You were created for relationship. One, with Him. Two, with other humans. Now, that can be tough since the fall, because there's flaw and there's sin, and you know, when we look at reasons why we don't like maybe coming to what we call church is, I love Jesus, but I don't really like the people. You know, we've heard it said, I don't have a problem with Jesus, it's His followers. You know, the old adage is too, true. You find a perfect gathering, don't you go attend it, because it'll be ruined. Okay, that's the statement. Because humanity is broken and we are flawed. And we believe upon Jesus and we're forgiven of our sins and we are sanctified in Him. And yet there's this working out of us. And, you know, and I got to be honest with you. Sometimes what we don't care about people, it has a lot to do with ourself. It's not just them. The counterpart is, it is some of you. And me. There's quirks. There's differences. Certain things in certain people's lives are very submitted to the Lord, and other people, that's not quite submitted yet. And there's different ways of doing things. You think there's only one recipe for apple pie? Well, there is at my house. You know, and we have different ways of doing things. And so it's like, you know, I got a problem with this person. I love Jesus. I want to go worship. But you know what? I cannot go back to that church because of so-and-so. Or I got an issue with so-and-so. Or so-and-so didn't treat me good. And now the whole ecclesia, that whole gathering. Listen, I got to tell you something. It is not, listen, this is not whole unless you are here. We are a body. Scripture calls us a body. And we are not whole when you are not here. Now, I know we're all going to miss from time to time. But I'm talking about a general part of our life that it's not about attending church. It's we gather together because of who we are in salt and light. And worshiping Him. Please, don't corrupt this scriptural message and principle by saying, well, pastor's just talking about church attendance. I'm not. I'm just telling you, I'm not. This isn't about church attendance. If I was all wrapped up about church attendance, then a lot of you'd be getting phone calls. Right? You'd be getting letters. I'd be knocking on your door. But I know that some of you make it about church attendance. But I'm not. It's not about church attendance. It's about being the living church. And because we're the living church, we gather together. And these things that we look for and that we need are satisfied in His presence when we are together. And God wants to use you and be a symbol, be a message, be a reflection of Him so that you can be the hope of lost people. I know that some of you make about church attendance because when you see me and you haven't seen me for a while, or you think I've noticed that you've not been here for some time. Hi, I just want you to know that I was out of town and I was busy and I was this and I did, you know, and that's why you have. Do I wear a shirt that says explain? Understand this. This is about relationship with a brother and sister because we are the church. I'm just grateful. I'm glad to bump into you. I'm grateful to see you. How are you? Not where have you been? It's not it. I desire that you're here. It's because when you're here and we're here together, it is greater. Listen. Worship team. Come up here, please. Hurry. Those of you on the worship team, just quickly move to the platform. Don't worry, you're not going to play or sing right now. I'm not putting you on the spot. Just go to your instrument or mic or stand, some, whatever you know. It is different when they are here. It is not the same when they are not here. Please, do not all be missing on the same Sunday. We will still worship, but it's going to be really tough. But I guarantee this, they'll sing louder if you're not here, just to drown me out. You can go back to your seats. It is not. Those of you who come and stand across the front on occasion or kneel during praise and worship, please don't all of you go missing on the same Sunday. It will not be the same without you. Those of you who stay in the pew and worship with sincerity and offer something to God, a gift of praise and worship, please don't all be gone on the same Sunday. It will not be the same without you. Listen, Mondays and Thursdays are great days around here because most of our staff are all in attendance at some point during those days. Say, Tuesday and Wednesday, Carol's off. It is not the same, Carol, when you're not here. Marlene, when JW pushed you down the stairs and you broke your ankle. Or wait, no. No, you didn't push her. You slipped on your own. Yeah, okay, I forget how part, you know, you tell the story one way, she tells it another. No. Do you remember, a couple years back, she fell. She has had pins in her ankle or leg or whatever, and she wasn't around here for a while. We were not whole. Now, Jesus is still Lord, and everything's going to go on, and everything's going to be taken care of, but it is not the same without her. They don't have to tell me this, but when I'm not in here, I know, in the depths of their soul, they want to express to me that, oh, Randy, it's just not the same when you're not here. It's so much better, you know. We get so much more done. It's quieter when you're not here. So, when we're not together, I'm telling you, it really is not the same. We are not whole. You matter. Not in attending, but because you are, listen, you are a part of me. And whether you like it or not, if you are part of the body, I am a part of you. We, get this, we belong together. This isn't about attending. This is about what we are, who we've been called to be. There are so many things through Scripture that talk about Jesus the Christ being the groom, the bridegroom. And there's so much that in that, that there is talked about the what we call the church, or the called out ones, the gatherings, that we are the bride. You can look in Ephesians 5. You can look in Old Testament and Isaiah. You can look at different places in Revelation. There are places throughout Scripture that talk about Jesus or God, our husband, and we are his bride. Listen to me. Jesus, watch this, Jesus loves his bride. Listen, don't compare our faulty marriages. This is a perfect marriage. If there were ever was ever a match made in heaven, okay? It is this mess of people that he loves. Listen, you have seen people in your life where you want to go up to the boy and you want to go, wake up. Don't you see what she's really like? Because he's just like, Okay, now not him literally. I'm just using this as an example. Okay? Hey, you, listen, lady, you have seen your girlfriend. And you're looking at what she loves. And you're going, really? I mean, really? I don't get it. I mean, I look at you and know you, and you're, you know, wonderful. And really? Especially if you feel like a lesser girlfriend. You go, really? And if that's what you get, what am I going to end up with? I mean, you know, what? But for the person, they love. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He knows our mess, but he knows how to rescue. He knows how to wash us and cleanse us. See? Make us presentable. Transform us. You see, the person in this room that you're not real crazy about, he loves. And when they're not here, you might feel better, but we as a whole are not the same. Here's the catch. Here's the real stinger of this. We love Jesus, but we're not always crazy about his people. We are called to be like him. And we are called, listen, to love what he loves. He gave himself up for us. I am supposed to have the same affection for you that he has for us, for you. You are supposed to have the same affection for the called out ones, the gathering, the body of Christ that he has for you. When I begin to think about loving you as much as he loves you, and how strong his feelings are for you, and how he wants to protect you, how he wants to feed you, how he wants to nourish you, how he wants to instruct you, how he loves you, and if you fight against him, he doesn't easily but lets you go, hoping you return and willing to wrap his arms around us like there's been no offense. To have that kind of affection and commitment to one another, that will move me. It will launch me out of attending and puts me into serving, giving, caring, That the gathering in this body begins to elevate in its importance and priority in my life. Because I am supposed to, not as a pastor, just as a follower called out one of Christ, supposed to love you and have affection for you like he does. Here's the question. Do you have that? Do I have that? I just heard the other day from one of my children, because it was a weekend where they all came home. Sue loves that. I mean, I do too. But my wife, she will plan for this. She will labor over this. She will make lists over it. And everything has got to be just right. Just come on over. I'm a just come on over. We'll figure it out. You know? I mean, we'll plan and do stuff. But, you know, she has to go out and buy new tablecloths. Wait, these are our kids. No, we've got to rearrange and do these things because we need 4 bedrooms. Wait, let me do the math, Sue. There's you and I, and there's Brock. Wait, let me count again, Sue. I must be doing this wrong. Well, when those kids come over and those kids come home, and if Sydney brings a friend... Stand up. Exhibit A. Sit down. Over there. No. He needs a place to sleep too. And now that Jessica's married to the big dude... Well, then, you know, we had to get, like, new bedding and set up a new guest room and, you know. Will they ever stop costing me money? No! But this is what I heard from one of our children. Because they love coming home, and they're just there, and they're saying, "Oh, I don't want to leave on Sunday." I'm like, "You want to leave on Saturday?" No, I'm kidding. No, you know. And one of them says the other day, you know, and they go over childhood stuff, and oh, do you remember family meetings? I miss family. I loved family meetings. Most family meetings. They didn't attend it. We are family. And when one left the house and moved across town, married first, and went to live with that guy, our home wasn't the same. And when Jessica ran off to different places, and kept coming back, it was not the same. When Sydney went off to school, and then the news hit us that she was not coming home for the summers. She was going to stay in Minneapolis. It was not the same. And Brock, when he went off to school, it was not the same. I don't care which one of them left, it was not the same. And you feel different things for different children. It's not that the one's favorite, it's that the relationship is unique. It is. It is unique. But when my son left, then he came home, I wondered, why did I ever love you? No, I'm kidding. I didn't say it. It's not true. And I know they're all going to leave. You will all leave. Three of you today. But we were not whole. Now I know they're raised to leave. But you and I, we are not raised in this family to leave. It is not the same for us when you are not here. Oh, we go on and we carry on. And our eye is on the Lord. He sustains us. He's everything. I know that. But the affection that we should feel and the priority of the gathering and our brothers and sisters need to move up the list so that I will be more like Christ, so that you will be more like Christ and love who He loves and be committed to who He loves. I will close with this. This is not a perfect scenario. It was a gentleman in a church where I pastored before. He was on the board at different times, even hired him as staff for a while. He has 4 children. Him and his wife, they were at the facility and planning things and working and being a part of things all the time. And they had a healthy family relationship, okay? But he put it to me this way, and like I said, this scenario is not perfect. It's flawed, but it's conveying what's in his heart. He says this, he said, Randy, this church or the gathering, the called out ones, the family, the bride, this place is our country club. We treat it like our country club. See, when you're a member at a country club, you go there, you bring people there, and you spend money there, and you volunteer there, and you eat meals there, and you do all of these things. You plan events, and when you have an event, you have it there, and it's just where you spend your time, your money, those important resources of our life. He says, this church is our country club. It is where we come. It is where we give. It is where we attend and involve ourselves in things, not just spectate. This is where we labor. This is where we volunteer. This is where we give of our time and our money. And we plan things we do around what is going on at or with the body of Christ or the church. They plan stuff around it. That was their worship to the Lord. That was their lifestyle. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you planned something in your life around an activity or an event or something that was going on with the body? Or is it usually, I will go and attend when I don't have something else? See, that's the difference between our mentality of attending or understanding that the ecclesia is who we are.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.